312-981-7200 is our phone number, and 224 makes a good point. So schools aren't closed, but we can congregate in groups of 1,000 people. We have 4,000 in our school. Well, they're saying you can't congregate in groups of 1,000, but you're absolutely right. And many classes, when you think about high school classes and 30, 35, 40 people that are in that, or kids that are in that class, and they jump from class to class to class, so the exposure is pretty large. But today, the governor of Illinois says there's no mandate to close Illinois schools, and the city of Chicago mayor, Lori Lightfoot, said the same. CPS remains open.
Next, I want to address the status of our schools. At this time, CPS will remain open. Now, we would never put our children in danger, and I say that as mayor, but also as a mother. At this time, CPS will, however, begin scaling back large-scale events, issuing guidance to all school personnel in advance of spring break, instituting a mandatory policy on short-term closures for any schools with confirmed cases, and ensuring parents and loved ones are frequently updated. And CPS will be issuing a specific set of guidance today to the school community.
For more on that story, Cassie Walker-Burke is the managing editor over at Chalkbeat Chicago, chalkbeat.org/Chicago, and she joins me now. Cassie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's get right into this. Today, the governor says he's not putting a mandate for Illinois schools. Were you surprised by this?
You know, I won't say I was surprised, but there were there was definitely a lot of chatter in the education sphere that the governor was going to possibly close schools. And I think the reason that was happening is because we saw about midday the governors of both Ohio and Maryland issuing statewide edicts that they were closing schools. We also saw some big metro regions, so some suburbs of Seattle, 10 districts around Houston, also making the decision to close schools. And so there was a lot of chatter in Illinois that this was maybe going to happen, but it didn't.
It didn't. And I can understand why, and I think that the reasoning of monitoring closely is good. But, you know, it's hard to, as I think for laymen who are listening right now, and myself included, to be, well, you got some governors that are doing it, some that aren't, some big municipalities are doing it, some that aren't. It's hard for us to understand why one chooses to do it and the other doesn't.
Right. And I think that's why you see, particularly on social media, but if you talk to groups of parents, you'll hear this question come up often. What is the rationale? Why are officials making different decisions in different places? And, I'm not a health official. I'm not an expert on that. But I will say that, you know, the large-scale closures that you are seeing in Washington, for example, Washington has more cases of coronavirus, confirmed cases, than any other state. So, the first large district to close was Seattle, which we heard yesterday. And so that follows that the numbers would be there. Our officials are saying here in Illinois that while the number of cases is increasing, that they're not seeing the data that shows that children are affected. The first child case was actually today in Illinois, and that they don't consider children to be as high risk of transmitters of the disease. And so that's one of the things that are factoring into the decision. Okay. So that's one of the reasons why they're saying we're going to close stadium events, but we're not going to close schools.
Now, Heather Sharon was just on with us right before the break, and Heather mentioned the idea that many will argue that you can't close Chicago public schools because a lot of low-income kids are getting their meals from there, maybe some shelter, some security at least. Is that playing into factor when it comes to not closing down a district like CPS?
Of course it does. You heard two mayors today of two very large cities saying similar things. So Bill de Blasio earlier today in New York said the same thing about New York City schools, that their children in both New York and in Chicago, low-income children depend on schools for shelter. They depend on schools for meals. And so that's one of the things the district officials consider before making a large-scale closure. So that message was very similar in both cities.
At what point, though, and you know, this is just more of a question for the ether, I think, but this idea that it's not like we understand like the idea of closing schools when there's a strike or maybe a budget impasse, but this is about a public health crisis and a virus. So when you get to the certain point where you're choosing safety and security over safety and from safety and security from poverty as opposed to safety and security from a virus, that's where I start to I'm not sure what the answer is.
Well, I think this is one of the questions that makes this such this, you know, everybody's watching this so closely. I mean, I will say that the district has said that they only have one confirmed case of a staff member who has contracted coronavirus or confirmed case, and that none of its students have contracted have confirmed coronavirus cases. Mm-hmm. So right now, based on that data, it does not see a reason to close schools. If those numbers change, then, you know, that decision could potentially change. But right now, that is the number. And the child, I think it's important to note that the child who, the case that was confirmed today in Illinois, is not believed to be a student of Chicago Public Schools.
The interesting thing as well, you heard and didn't get as much play in the wrap-up, was that Mayor Lightfoot was talking about expanding Comcast abilities for Wi-Fi, for giving low-income households the ability to get 60-day free and things of that nature. How much does that play into the fact they don't want to close schools, that they can't go to necessarily e-learning protocols because the district isn't set up that way?
I thought that was a really fascinating moment, actually, in today's press conference, so I'm glad you brought it up. Officials in both Chicago and statewide have recognized that the federal guidance to school districts, which has been start preparing to close, start preparing for e-learning, that's the guidance that's come from the Centers for Disease Control, that really falls short because most districts aren't prepared to do it. And one of the things holding districts back is internet access. Another thing is devices for students. And finally, most districts aren't, especially in Illinois, are not set up, don't have the materials online. Their teachers don't have their things online. They don't have curriculum online. So for schools to shift to e-learning or remote learning, that's a big sea change that, quite honestly, a lot of districts in the state, not all, but a lot are not prepared to do.
Right. And it may be why some schools, out of precaution, are closing and some aren't, because they might have access to more resources. Right.
And we're seeing some districts in other places start to talk about, well, we're going to send our kids home, or we're sending them home with a big packet, you know, a big hastily assembled packet of papers. And, you know, I think that as a parent, I recognize that's not a great solution. But in terms of e-learning and promises of remote learning, it just seems like the infrastructure is not there yet in many places.
Cassie Walker-Burke is with me. She's the managing editor over at Chalkbeat Chicago, chalkbeat.org/Chicago. They cover all things education. One of the things that came out tonight, CTU put a statement out about Election Day and polling places in Chicago schools. We've seen this, I mean, not just Chicago. I mean, they're just covering teachers in Chicago. But around the state, and I would say around the country, schools are almost always used as polling places, the gymnasium, maybe the auditorium. In this case, with this coming up, CTU has suggested to CPS, hey, make it a holiday. No school that day. And we want you to deep clean the place when the polling is over, because there's a lot of traffic and there are a lot of strangers that are coming through a school. What do you think of this?
I think it's a really interesting idea. We are seeing schools in some other places in Fairfax County, Virginia, for example, and we saw this in the western suburbs here, actually in Lombard, where schools closed for a day for deep cleaning. And it was, I think in both of those cases, there was a confirmed coronavirus case connected to a school. But there is a precedent to close schools for one day. Now, I do think it's interesting in that polling places, for example, are generally in the gym. They're not, students aren't wandering in when you're voting there. And so I think that's an important thing to consider. But the CTU did come up with a list of demands. It had a press conference yesterday at City Hall and started surfacing this idea really broadly there.
Cassie, also, they really want to protect their workers, whether it be teachers or whether it be whoever's represented by the union. You're seeing a lot of unions step forward today, well, not just in schools, but in hospitals, other places. But it seems that CTU really wants to make sure that their rank and file are protected. What can they do? What precautions can be put in place? Or is it just a union sort of rattling the saber and the idea that they're just trying to let people know this is an issue?
Well, look, you talk to anybody who works in a school or a hospital, people are concerned about their health. And let's be honest, there's a lot that we don't know about coronavirus. And I think that is a scary thing. But in terms of, you know, what the union can do to protect its workers. I think it's doing it. I think it's trying to make clear these demands. I think that they're also trying to lobby statewide for a more robust sick leave policy, especially for hourly workers. So those would be like the bus drivers and the janitors and the people who help keep schools running. But, you know, it's still an open question right now what's going to happen and really who's at risk.
Yeah. And the last thing we'll talk about is just the events around schools, whether that's science fairs or chess tournaments or basketball games or everything in between, and standardized testing, which is coming up soon. The idea that they want to shut all those things down or limit those things, that's going to have a severe impact, even if it's not closing the schools.
Exactly. The district is saying tonight in a new set of guidance that it is, you know, really any event that's larger than, I think it's 50, that they're should be canceled until after spring break. And in terms of standardized testing, the Federal Department of Education is saying that it is considering guidance that would actually not count the tests for next year, that would pull back on that because of this unusual situation.
Right. But what do you do if you're a seventh grader right now who that test is how you get into the selective enrollment program in Chicago Public Schools? They just think,
exactly.
What happens
exactly.
Then, right? Cassie Walker-Burke, always a pleasure. Managing editor at chalkbeat.org/Chicago covers all things Chicago schools. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.